7:17 back here on the KYMN Morning Show. Pleased to be joined by our dear friend, Representative Todd Lippert of District 20B, such as it is. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm pleased to be in the chair with you and see you hosting today. It's great.
It's always fun to do this for a week. And then when the week is over, I'm always really happy when I don't have to do it next week.
Well, it's all when I see the boards and everything you have to move around, it looks like a mystery to me. So I'm glad you're doing it, not me.
What is great is that like the blinking lights are still blinking, and the lines that are supposed to move up and down are still moving up and down, which means that we're still on the air.
I haven't
broken that part yet. So yeah. Well, what's been going on at the Capitol this week? You've got a bill. Before we get to that, we should talk about the budget surplus that came out on Tuesday.
Yeah,
the new forecast.
The week started with a bang with a new budget forecast. So we had a record budget surplus of $7.7 billion. We thought it might go up. It did. So the newest number was $9.3 billion.
I frankly am disappointed. I was promised $10 billion, Todd.
Well, we didn't quite get there, but it's still an eye-popping number. And the takeaway for me is why we have this surplus.
Right.
And the state economist was clear about that. It's because corporate profits have really gone up. So the profits of S&P 500 companies in 2021 went up 50%.
Wow.
Right. And so that leads to much bigger tax receipts. Everyone's been trying to figure out why do we have this surplus number? Well, because corporate profits have really been accelerating and have accelerated through the pandemic. So that really shapes the debate at the Capitol, shapes my resolve and that of my colleagues as we start having conversations, because we have, our colleagues across the aisle are talking about permanent tax cuts for companies, for large corporations. And, I think they're doing just fine. And we need to be focusing on, the needs of families and Minnesotans whose budgets aren't keeping up, and we can invest in particular areas and reduce costs, whether childcare, making sure that people have access to affordable homes, making sure we're supporting our schools. These are, some basic things we can do. And, we just learned more about what's available because of the budget forecast. The other thing that's a part of the conversation is there's more economic uncertainty now than there was a month ago because of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And so we have some signals from the Speaker of the House, from the Democratic lead in the Senate, Franzen, saying, maybe we should be thinking about what we put in reserves also, just to be a bit careful because we don't know exactly what's ahead of us in the months ahead.
The Republican proposal, one of the things that the Republicans want to do with the budget surplus, and I'm only asking you this because I'm trying to understand exactly. I don't know if you can actually answer this question or not. The unemployment insurance trust fund is in debt by $1 billion. Correct? Is that the number?
Their proposal is $2.7 billion.
Right. Where does that extra $1.7 billion come from, or what is that about? Do you have an understanding of that?
So the number I've been hearing about repaying that is $2.7 billion.
Yeah.
And the debate's been shaping up. I think I'm open and my colleagues are open to a conversation about what do we need to do to make sure that we're supporting the smallest businesses,
right?
That were on the edge of the pandemic, want to make sure that they're doing okay. The proposal as it's come forward, which is backed by the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce, which is really kind of the lead advocacy arm of the largest corporations, gives a large amount of money to the largest companies. So, for instance, JBS, big meat packer, their profits doubled during the pandemic. They've raised pork prices by 14%, driving inflation in meat prices. They would get $1 million a year through what's been proposed. Amazon would get $1.6 million a year. Walmart would get $6 million a year. I mean, you can just add it up if you start adding up these large companies. So a large amount under their proposal is going to large companies. A small amount is going to the smallest companies. We needed to turn that around.
Yes, we do.
So that's my perspective, the perspective of my colleagues, and that debate will keep unfolding.
Right. All right. Clean water has always been a something that's been an issue that you've always worked pretty hard on. But you're working on a bill for well water, clean well water. Is that right?
That's right. So I had the second hearing on the Private Well Testing and Remediation Act, okay. which I'm excited about. So currently, 1.2 million Minnesotans rely on private wells for their water. So 1 in 5 Minnesotans rely on private wells for their water, and there's currently no safeguards in place for Minnesotans who are on a private well. If you live in town, there are safety measures in place to make sure that when you turn your tap on, you have clean, safe water. And this bill is about making sure that everyone has safe water to drink and that people who live in rural areas have equal access to clean water as well. So this would put a testing program in place through the Minnesota Department of Health. Mm-hmm. They would be able to contract with local governments, tribal nations, to provide free and voluntary testing to people on private wells. It would also then provide support for remediation or dealing with contamination issues once that's found. And we know there are significant contamination concerns related mm-hmm. to nitrate, arsenic, manganese, bacteria. Sometimes there may be issues with lead. We don't know exactly how much because we don't have good testing in place.
Right.
So we need to start this program, provide some support. Oftentimes, dealing with an issue could be just a few $100s. Sometimes it's significantly more than that. So we mm-hmm. have some grant support in place through this bill. And we need to get this program in place, get the testing going, provide some support, and then we'll be gathering data as well so we know more about it. But I've been working with the Department of Health and some other partners. We have a $30 million ask for this bill, and they say it's a big project, but this is a manageable start. Mm-hmm. It had a good reception in committee, so I'm hopeful that we can get this in place.
Right. I realize we're talking about private wells, but I guess I'm surprised the state doesn't have a program like this in place already because, people have been drawing water from wells for pretty much as long as people have been drinking.
Right. So it's people can request a test mm-hmm. and test their wells, and some people are doing that. But it's right around 20% of Minnesotans on private wells are testing their well with some regularity, and that isn't acceptable. So that's
right.
Roughly a million Minnesotans don't know if they have contaminants in their water, and that's a lot. And this well would go towards fixing that.
Yeah, Northfield's dealing with a pretty solid manganese problem right now too. You hear these words and the things that get in the water, you don't even think too much about it until it's presented to you and shown exactly what does that mean? Too much manganese in your water? Well, if you're pregnant, that means that you probably shouldn't be drinking that water too much. It's important stuff.
Yeah, it is important. And there are some areas of geologic vulnerability. So we're very close to the karst region here. Mm-hmm. The Driftless Zone is closer to the Mississippi River. Nitrate contamination is a much bigger problem just because of the way water filtrates through the ground. And the same is true in the Central Sands region in the center of the state. So we know there are places where we have some significant concerns related to contamination or things we should be watching out for, as well as manganese and arsenic, which are naturally occurring concerns. So this would just provide resources to the Department of Health to let people know, hey, you should be testing your water, and we're going to provide that testing for free and some support for dealing with contaminants. Please test your water. So I'm excited about this bill and hopeful it's moving in the Senate too. So I'm hopeful that we can get this done.
That's great. That's great. And we keep hearing about this crop, this plant, Kernza, that could be this. It could be a really good thing for a lot of good reasons to people around here. But you've been doing some work on that too.
That's right. So we had a good hearing in the Ag Committee on Monday for supply chain support for newer crops like Kernza, also winter camelina, elderberry, crops that provide continuous cover on the landscape in some exciting ways. So that's good for soil health. It can help sequester carbon, and these crops are profitable, and in multiple ways for farmers too. But these crops are on the edge of commercialization. What's needed now is some support for commercializing them. New companies will talk about, or new products will talk about, a valley of death. So they get started, there's energy, and then there's kind of this middle period where they have to get some financial support to bridge getting to scale. And where these crops are at that point. So we want to provide some financial support, because these crops have the potential to be scaled up across the upper Midwest.
Sure.
And we want to see that reality unfold. One thing that was really exciting to me during the hearing, and I was thinking about this, I had two Northfielders with me. Rahe Haslett-Marroquin was there. He has the Regenerative Agriculture Alliance, a regenerative poultry system that wants to be integrating these crops, as well as Christopher Abbott, who has Perennial Pantry, a Kernza processing facility in the southern suburbs, but he's from Northfield as well. Colin Curitan's from the Forever Green program. He lives in the Northfield area. And I was realizing, Northfield's an ag innovation hub. There's a lot of innovative things happening in agriculture right here because of farmers who are doing some new and exciting things. And part of what I've been interested in the legislature is providing support in any way I can to these farmers who are doing this great work in the area.
All right. Representative Todd Lippert, we want to thank you again for coming in and spending a little time with us on your Friday morning. Anything we should be looking for next week in the...
Next week, a couple things. I'll be in the bonding committee talking about the Milltowns Trail.
Oh.
And I think we might see some drought relief come up for a vote next week as well for farmers across the state who are still struggling with the effects of the drought.
That would be big. There's some people that are really looking for that. All right. Todd, thank you so much. We do appreciate
it. Good to be here.
Okay. We'll talk to you next week. Rich Larson on 95.1 KYM, The Morning Show. We'll be right back with the Northfield Director of the Library Services, Natalie Draper.